The Advent season, as I said at the beginning, is a season of waiting, or as the gospel tells us, watching, a season of expectation, watching, waiting, expecting the day that the Lord Jesus will come again and gather us into the kingdom of his Father. It seems to me that watching and waiting are always kind of intensified in this time right before Christmas. Think about children. Aren't they eagerly waiting for Christmas Day? Aren't they wanting to know what it is they're going to receive? But even we as adults, I think we have a certain sense of expectancy also, in a different way. You know, those of you who have children away from home, maybe in college, maybe married and moved off to another city, another state. Maybe those of you who have children in the military. There is a watching and expectancy, longing for when they come back for the holidays. Or maybe it's other family members you're going to gather with. There's a yearning, in a sense, for that time when we're back together with those we love. We long for that. We yearn for it. And maybe it's just the peace that Christmas Day kind of brings to us when all the preparation is done and we can just stop and be with those we love. We yearn for that. We long for that. But spiritually, this is also a time of waiting. Each of us, I think, can somehow identify with that first reading. Notice how in that first reading, the prophet Isaiah is saying, "Lord, rend the heavens and come down." It's almost as if, "Lord, why have you been so absent?" The Jewish people have been through a horrendous time of exile. They've suffered greatly. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The nation is in ruins. And they're saying, "Lord, why? Why have you abandoned us? Why do you not come and rescue us? We've heard all those great things you did for our forefathers. Why do you not do them now for us?" Don't we sometimes feel that way? You know, we're going through a hard time. Maybe it's just spiritually we feel really dry, like the Lord is so far from us. And we say, "Why, Lord? Why don't you show yourself? Why do I have to walk this way?" For many right now, it's economics. They're going through hard times. And they say, "Why, Lord? Why can't you rescue me?" For others, it might be family problems, marital problems. Others, it could be health. But often we're in that situation. We say, "Lord, why don't you do something? You've got the power. Why don't you do it?" We wait. We long. We yearn for the Lord to come down. Whereas Isaiah says, "Rend those heavens and come to us. We want to be rescued." But then there's that even deeper longing. Because you and I know that no matter what change may happen in our present situation, it's always temporary. You know, we can be restored to health. We'll be sick again down the road. Our finances can get better, but that can get worse again. Family problems might improve, but it's not forever. We continue to live in this time where things are good, and then things are not so good. But we know that when the end comes and the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rescue us and gather us into the kingdom of our Father, then that will not happen. it will be eternal peace, eternal joy, the fullness of life. And deep down, that's what we really long for. We long for that day when all is at peace, all is well, and it's not ever going to get worse. And that's the promise we have when the Lord Jesus comes. When he comes again at the end of time, he will gather us into the kingdom of his Father, and we will live then in eternal peace, eternal joy. There's another line in that first reading that I want to focus on. It's that powerful image of we are the clay, you are the potter. I really wanted to get Gene Bunker out here and do a demonstration. As if you ever seen him do that, take that clay and put it on his wheel and form it. But the prophet is saying, we are that clay. We are being formed by God's hands. But he's also saying to us, these things that we cannot understand, those things that are happening in our lives that we wished weren't happening, these moments of uncertainty and anxiety and even suffering, they are part of what is molding us, forming us, fashioning us. We are the clay in the hands of our God. He uses even these things that we don't like and don't want, he uses them to make us into the people that he wants us to be. And when his son comes to gather us, those things that we have endured, those things we've endured with faith and confidence, they will be part of what we bring into that heavenly kingdom. They will be part of that joy and that peace that we will know forever.